All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our board meeting on June 29th, 2020. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to Board President David Malkin to start our meeting.
Thank you, Dr. Mitchell. It's June 29th, 2020, and I call the regular board meeting of the Rolling Unified School District Board of Education to order. It is now 4:03. Dr. Mitchell, can we please have roll call?
Yes. Donna Friedman?
Here.
Carrie Chen?
Here.
Lynn Ebenkamp?
Here.
Perfect. Angelina Pride?
Present.
And David Malkin?
Present.
All board members are present.
Are there any changes or items to be pulled from the agenda?
None from staff.
Okay, can I have a motion to adopt the agenda, the regular board meeting of Monday, June 29th, 2020?
I'll make a motion.
Okay, Ms. Friedman made the motion, Ms. Pride made the second.
Angelina made the motion, I seconded.
Okay, the other way around. Okay, any discussion? Okay, we'll take a roll call on the vote. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebenkamp?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And aye for me. Motion carries unanimously. Dr. Mitchell, are there any comments on closed session items?
I believe that there is one. Is that correct?
Yes, there is one. It's from Mr. Roy Humphreys. It's about the topic employee contract negotiations.
Okay, let me just read this one statement and then we'll have Mr. Humphreys speak. The public is welcome to provide comment to the board. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes unless extended or limited by vote of the board. A maximum of 20 minutes, unless extended by the board, is allocated for each subject discussed. The Brown Act open meeting regulations under which the board must operate do not allow the board members to comment on non-agenda items or information you may bring up that are not on the agenda. Additionally, no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to staff following a comment. Mr. Humphreys, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, yes, I had to unmute myself. Okay, we'll make this quick and sweet here. Item 2C, the one-year contract extension for the superintendent has, which has a three-year remaining on it. The contract is, the extension is ludicrous and an affront to every constituent in Rolling Unified. The superintendent has demonstrated that she has not mastered the definition of the word immediately to the detriment of all of the voting public of this district. Yes, the contract extensions of Assistant Superintendents Alex Flores, Dennis Bixler, and Superintendent Julie Mitchell must be rescinded immediately. And the actions of this board, once again, call into question as to whether its members should be allowed to continue to serve in these trying times. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Humphreys. Is there any other comments that signed in?
That is all.
Okay. At that point then, we will recess to closed session at 4:06 p.m. Okay, are we all set?
Double checking.
Yes, sir.
Waiting for Mr. Chen.
There it is.
This computer sounds much better.
Yes.
Oh, Lynn, you're a lot better now.
Malkin, all board members are present. We are ready to resume.
Okay, good evening. We have returned to open session at 6:01 p.m. I will lead everybody in the flag salute. Please stand. Place your right hand over your heart and follow me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, I'm glad we're not a choir singing together. Okay, there is one report that I have from closed session, which I'll read. On a motion by Ms. Friedman and seconded by Ms. Pride, the Board of Education approved the appointment of Esther Villalegas Garcia as an elementary principal assigned to Northern Elementary School. The board welcomes Ms. Garcia to the Roland team. The only report we have from closed session. Next is superintendent report by Dr. Mitchell.
Perfect. Thank you very much. So I just have a few things I'd like to share with the board and the community. So first, it is my pleasure to welcome Mrs. Esther Villegas Garcia to the Roland Unified School District team. She'll be beginning on or near July 20th and will be working to lead the Northam Elementary School. She's very excited to reach out and talk with the staff at Northam. And so she'll be working with our Human Resources Department and getting onboarded and is eager to begin her work in our district. So we all welcome her. And she will be coming forward at our next board meeting to be formally introduced to the board. So thank you for that. Also wanted to thank the City of West Covina. The City of West Covina honored and recognized our class of 2020, particularly from Nogales High School, who was many of the students at Nogales High School are residents of West Covina. So the council, led by Mayor Wu, recognized our students. We had put together a brief video to show them, and I was able to meet with them and a few guests in their chambers and share a little bit about our district and our class on June 23rd. So that was a pleasure as well. As we start looking at the opening of our school year, we did launch a thought exchange, and a thought exchange allowed all of our employees to provide ideas or information regarding the opening of school, particularly what were some of the designs or ideas they might have in mind for a blended learning model. So there were 526 employees participated who shared 833 ideas, and those ideas received over 20,000 ratings or rankings. And so there was a lot of engagement. That was our first time trying that tool. So we, with it being our first time, we learned some ways in which we could use it to be a little bit more effective, but it was a great way to engage our employees and to be able to receive some real-time feedback. Also wanted to share, summer school is off and running and has been. We have approximately 4,000 students that are participating in summer learning this summer, both at the elementary and at the secondary level. So that's a tremendous group of students. Some students are participating in academic subjects. Some are participating in interventions, some debate, engineering, electives such as photography. All of it is being done remotely through virtual learning and online. So I want to thank our board for continuing to support summer learning opportunities for our students as we have launched that full virtual learning program for our students with 4,000 participants. And that is being led by our Ed Services team. So with Laura Rivas at the secondary level and Sylvia Rivas and Rebecca Rodriguez, all under the direction of Maddie Zamora. So thank you for that. That concludes my comments.
Thank you, Dr. Mitchell. Our next item is the opening of the 2020-2021 school year. I see from our count on the bottom that we have quite a few people participating in tonight's board meeting remotely from home. And I want to welcome all of them and let them also know that There will be additional presentations on the opening of the school year tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday. And if you go to the school website, they'll have the times and the links on how to link and to join those meetings. They'll be in all the languages. So pick the one that's most comfortable for you and we'll meet your needs that way. But tonight we're having a more of an overview of it. And I'll turn the meeting over to Dr. Mitchell, who will present the opening of the school year 2020-21 and an overview for the school board.
Perfect, thank you. So we are, as soon as one school year concludes, we begin quite quickly working towards and planning for the opening of the next year. Actually, we begin doing that as soon as we hit the calendar year, so starting in January. And as we know, March of this year, our year took a quick turn in terms of everyone moving to distance learning, and that was our emergency plan, our emergency distance learning because of COVID-19. So we are now planning and have been for the opening of the 2021 school year. So this evening, as Mr. Malkin had shared, this is a broad overview to provide some information, and then we do have more specific information that will be shared with parents, so trying to balance both what might be an interest to the district as a whole and then some specific interest to our parents. So starting it off, we are watching and looking to see about the opening of schools from around the world. So we won't be the first to open post-COVID, and so we are watching to see what's happening. So paying attention to the World Health Organization, looking at the CDC, and what are other countries doing as they open schools in terms of what are some of the safety precautions that they put in place? How are they redesigning classrooms and learning spaces? So there's three examples here looking at New South Wales, Denmark, and Taiwan. So we've done research there. Also looking at China, looking at Japan, looking at Germany. So you'll see that they are redesigning as well as France in terms of many of the same protocols and procedures that we'll be putting into place when we reopen as well. So when you look at the United States, this is a map that just simply depicts the schools or by state where schools were closed. In California, nearly all schools were closed right at that March 13th date, same as what we did in Roland Unified. And at that time, the governor's priorities in the spring were focusing on continuity of learning, student nutrition, and supervision of students for critical care workers or child care. And so there were approximately 6 million students that went to emergency distance learning on March 13th in our state. Currently, at this moment, the state of California is in stage two. And when we look at the reopening phase, schools reopen in stage three. So when we, for learning, so many of the services that we provide as a school district have opened in terms of some of the work that we do, and you'll see that there are some businesses that have begun to reopen, so it is moving into stage three, but opening for instruction face-to-face in the classroom is described to be in stage three. So in looking at how might that occur, the CDC has there's multiple agencies that have provided information regarding the opening of schools. So we're looking at the CDC, we're looking at the California Department of Public Health, and our most local authority that will guide the specific work that we do as a district from a health and safety perspective will be the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health. So within this decision tree, the first question is, would opening our schools be consistent with state and local orders? So at this moment today, the answer is no. So we would not open. If we move to stage three, the answer would be yes. And then we would need to look at what are those local requirements by the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health for us to be able to fulfill and to put into place to be able to have face-to-face instruction with our students. The California Department of Public Health has come out already with the measures that are required for schools in the state of California. The Los Angeles County Department of Public Health has not yet shared their plan. So we do know that the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health cannot have a protocol that is less strict than the California Department of Public Health. It could only be more specific or have more detail to it. So we do have general measures and the information from the California Department of Public Health, which has been guiding our work. The Los Angeles County Department of Public Health, as I shared, has yet to issue their guidance. They have said that it would be out before the end of the month, so we are anticipating its arrival by tomorrow, although there have been a few changes that may be stalling or slowing their process in terms of communicating with the expectations for schools. However, the guidance that they have provided in general have shared that we can expect that when we reopen schools, that we will need to provide for physical distancing, we'll need to provide for hand washing or hand sanitizing, wearing of face coverings, having a symptom check procedure, which can be done at home or can be done at school. And some of that will depend, again, on the specifics from the Department of Public Health. Meal service, they have some specific criteria around meal service as well as transportation. So we know we would continue with meal service. It's how would we do that in order to comply. So as soon as this document is available, we will promptly review it and make any necessary adjustment to the draft plans that we're currently working on. The Los Angeles County Department of Education has partnered with all 80 school districts in the county to help develop ideas or plans or stages of information. So this happens to be their model for considerations in terms of looking at reopening. And you'll see up in the upper left-hand corner where it says, is Los Angeles County in phase 3 of reopening? If it's yes, we can proceed forward. If it's no, we would remain and continue with all distance learning. So again, currently we're in stage 2. And as I shared earlier in my comments, all of our summer learning is being done remotely. One of the new items to come to the table for conversation in the planning for opening our schools for the 2020-2021 school year is with the California budget adoption, there are trailer bills or additional bills that are written at the time that the budget is adopted. And the one that is receiving significant conversation around school communities is Assembly Bill 77. With the adoption of the California state budget for the 2021 school year, which funds our schools, it is very clear in Assembly Bill 77 that it requires schools open the 2020 school year with in-person, face-to-face instruction with students in our classrooms to the greatest extent possible when practicing physical distancing. So it does expect that we follow the local public health officer, which for us will be, again, LA County Department of Public Health. However, there is an expectation that all school districts plan for face-to-face in-person instruction to the greatest extent possible. It also talks about instructional minutes, that we do need to meet the instructional minutes that we have done when we have been in all brick and mortar or face-to-face instruction. However, it can be done in a blend, because we know with physical distancing, not all students can be in the classroom for the full time. The length of the school year has not been waived. It remains at 180 instructional days. And there are attendance requirements for students. So attendance will need to be taken and recorded and tracked for student attendance. There is, if there were to be a change in the instructional program, for instance, to move to all distance learning or to all in-person instruction, it would be mandated or required by the public health officer. So the concern in the adoption of Assembly Bill 77 was the legislature wanted to make sure that school districts were planning for and prepared to offer as much in-person face-to-face instruction with students as possible. Therefore, they have in this bill that no local school district can move to all distance learning unless it is mandated or required by the public health officer. So we would take direction from the public health officer if there was a need for us to be in an all distance learning district wide, or even for a single individual school to go to all distance learning. So as we look in terms of where we've been, so as a district, as we know, on March 13th, the board, you came together and on that day had an emergency board meeting, and we called for the dismissal of students on March 13th. March 16th began distance learning, and as a school district and as a staff, our employees went to great lengths to provide that continuity of instruction for our students, making sure that we showed care, compassion, and connection, as well as content learning during the student dismissal. We also continued to offer meal service to our students for both breakfast and lunch. We did also provide devices for students who needed them and Wi-Fi access for students that needed them. So we also did our best. Our schools did a fabulous job, like I said, keeping connection with students and also honoring some life thresholds for students in terms of looking at promotions and graduations for our students. So trying to do things virtually. As we look now towards then the opening of the school year for 2020, a planning team has been in place for approximately 6 to 8 weeks. And that consists of administrators, managers, teachers, and classified employees. So there is a core group of 20 individuals with both of our associations represented to provide some information, guidance, and lead us in this opening of our schools, looking at health and safety, instruction, and several other areas. The planning team has identified those 7 areas of consideration, developed 6 guiding principles, 10 essential commitments, and 3 learning options for us to proceed with. So when we look at areas of consideration, one of the first things that the planning team did in the first meeting was, what are the things that we do need to think about? What are the things we need to be considering, taking front of mind in the work that we're going to do to plan to open our schools on August 10th? And so health and safety, clearly a top priority. Instruction, we need to look at our facilities, technology, communication with all of our stakeholders, looking at student activities, student life, extracurricular programs for our students, and then also looking at financial and budgetary parameters. So these are the 7 key areas that we have been looking at in terms of being able to base our discussions and our planning as we look to open our schools. Next, the planning team talked about guiding principles. What are the guiding principles or the moral values that are going to establish the framework for expected behavior and decision making? Because these are 20 individuals that have come together to work together for the first time. And so we needed to establish what are those guiding principles going to be in terms of how we're going to do our work together. And so collectively and collaboratively, we determined that safety of our students and our staff is an absolute top guiding priority or principle that we have, that students are at the center and the primary focus of all of our decisions, because we know as a planning team that the planning team is going to need to make some difficult decisions and recommendations. And so keeping students at the center and the primary focus of decisions, there's a collective commitment to high quality instruction and high quality care with maximum flexibility to meet changing needs. The planning team recognizes and acknowledges that plans we're quite certain that plans are going to change. They'll ebb and flow from being more restrictive to less restrictive throughout the school year. And so how do we create some flexibility that will provide open, honest, and direct communication with our stakeholders, that we're going to proceed with courage, we're going to operate with integrity, and we'll embrace accountability. And then operating with systemness, so we're one district going one direction with one purpose in terms of the work we're doing. The essential commitments are when the committee and the planning team gets to the point where we're really analyzing plans and proposals and recommendations and the work to be done, what are the essential commitments? What are the things that we are committed to looking at and using that as a lens in the work? So we will prioritize health and safety of our students and staff in the decisions that we make. We are going to hold ourselves accountable to place students at the center of the decisions, that we will provide high quality, relevant instruction to all students, followed by specific and timely feedback to guide the learning process. And these commitments primarily surround by the instructional program that we will offer to our students. So we will mind the learning gap and provide extensive support to all students taking extra steps and providing differentiated support for special populations. We know that we need to provide flexibility and choice in how students are going to demonstrate mastery of learning, and that we will place the social and emotional health of our students at the center of teaching and learning. We acknowledge and mitigate, and we acknowledge and we will mitigate access and exit equity issues to improve opportunity for all students. And we're going to engage our parents as partners in their child's education, to provide resources to our parents so that they can be a partner as we continue to move through the 2021 school year. We will provide professional learning and support to our staff on new procedures, processes, and learning modalities. And we will communicate often with all stakeholders, providing accurate and timely information and updates. So as I said, with our guiding principles in place, our essential commitments in place, we are looking at what will that continuum be for the opening of school. So on this particular chart, it shares with you if we are, these phases don't match the phase numberings for the county for health, but it's for us, phase one would be the most restrictive. That would be when we're in all student dismissal. So that is where we were when beginning on March 16th. Phase two would be the opening of our schools and the ability to provide some face-to-face instruction for our students and looking at three learning plans or learning models for phase two. So looking at a blended learning approach, a virtual classroom, or independent study. Phase three for us would be that all schools are full, are open at full capacity. So all students can be on campus at the same time with general precautions continuing to be in place. And phase four would be that all schools are open, all restrictions are removed, we would open large venues, and we would be able to resume full business as usual. So when we're looking at the upcoming school year, we are planning for phase two, which has the ability to move into phase one or into phase three. We don't predict we will get to phase four in the 2021 school year. And it does not appear at this moment to be probable that we will be in even in phase three, where all students would be able to be on campus at the same time. So as we look at learning options, again, looking at blended learning, virtual classroom, and independent study, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Dr. Maddie Zamora, who's going to talk about those learning options.
Thank you. So here we are looking at the three possible learning options, and learning option one is blended learning. In this scenario, students are alternating between learning some of the time in school and some of the time at home. This is one of the most flexible options for us in this situation that we may have to go back to student dismissal. However, it is also an option that allows students to continue to learn in school with their classmates and also online with their classmates in their school. So in the blended learning model, you see that the scheduling students will participate in in-person instruction at school and will also engage in learning at home. Specific schedules are being reviewed and further developed. In classroom learning, students will be with smaller number of students and will be able to follow the health guidance by the LA County Department of Public Health. Students are not in classroom, they will continue their learning at home during asynchronous instruction. With a blended learning model, because we will have some students in school part of the time, we will have to make sure that we change how we use the current space. So in this model, you can see that the light colored blue are the larger areas that we will need to repurpose in order to use them to decrease the number of students in a classroom. You also see that we have a designated area for health screenings, as well as designated areas for outdoor instruction. again, making sure that we are following social distancing and making it work for all our students. We will also be removing furniture to maximize classroom capacity. The next slide. So this is an example of a possible schedule. No decisions have been made, no final decisions with regards to which model is going to be followed has been made either. So this is an example of model A and model B, where for elementary students, 2 days a week, group A would come to school, for example, from 8:30 to 2:30. Half of the class has full day instruction for 2 full days. And so in this example, for instance, group A would come to school Monday and Tuesday, and group B would come to school Wednesday and Thursday. No decisions have been made. I just want to make sure that that gets out there, because the teacher day can also be a different day. It does not have to be on a Friday. In this option, teachers would spend Fridays or their planning day collaborating, giving small group instruction online, having office hours, conferencing with parents, as well as participating in staff development and professional learning. Again, start times and end times are an estimate, and we're just using these start times as an example. The next example is what we call an AM-PM model, where 4 days a week, one group of students will come to school for half of the day, from 8 to 11 per se, and then the other group of students comes in at 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Again, this allows for teachers to have a day for planning, collaboration, small group instruction, conferencing, staff meetings, professional learning. Again, the start times and end times are just an example. And again, Friday, if it were to be a Friday or a Monday or a Wednesday, it would be decided what day would be that teacher day. For secondary, we have this is an example of a schedule called A and B model. Again, 2 days a week, group A comes to school and has period 1 through 3 on day one and periods 4 through 6 on day two, from 7:30 in the morning to 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Half of the students assigned in each period have a longer class periods so that they can have more instruction on that specific schedule, on that specific period. And again, group B would come on 2 different days following the same protocol. And teachers again would have 1 day to have a small group instruction, give students feedback, plan, collaborate, conference with parents, office hours. So that is the A and B model for secondary. The next model is what we're calling 2 day rotation compressed model. So in this model, again, students would be divided into 2 groups. However, in this scenario, students would complete 3 periods in half a semester. So they would come to school and receive instruction in 3 of their classes in the first semester of the school year. And in the second semester, they would receive instruction in their next three courses. Again, going back to the teachers having a full day for them to provide instruction, small group instruction, feedback, and the same options as in the other options of parent conferencing, staff meetings, professional learning. This is what we're calling a compressed model, and students would be able to get that full credit for half a semester. That is our blended learning model, and you can see in the pictures how our students would follow the social distancing guidelines as well as the use of masks. And we would maximize space, as you can see in the pictures. The virtual classroom, if it's permitted in compliance with AB 77, we intend to offer this as an option to our families who prefer that their child not participate in any in-person instruction. And it is basically not the same structure that we're following now, but students would be receiving instruction completely online. So there would be no in-person interaction. Students would not participate in any in-person instruction. Expectations would be that students are enrolled in virtual classrooms. They will need to have a device and regular access to Wi-Fi. The district will be able to provide devices to all participating students and Wi-Fi hotspots to most families in need. Learning platforms, again, we would use the platforms that our teachers are knowledgeable in and have been practicing on and using, Google Classroom, Seesaw, and Zoom, among other online learning tools. Here is a schedule of a virtual classroom. Again, no decisions have been made. Nothing has been solidified with regards to the structure of the day if in this option. But again, the schedule will closely mirror a traditional school day and will require students to engage in daily live instruction through technology with a full class, small group, and individual as determined by the teacher. Students are required to be in a setting that allows for learning free from any distractions. And be dressed and ready to go online and be in attendance as we are required to take attendance for virtual classrooms. Again, the start times and end times are estimates. Our third option is independent study. In independent study, students independent study will be discussed and reviewed on an individual basis. For families who need this type of option, with this option, there is very limited student-teacher interaction and no interaction at all with their peers. There would be assigned classes and times for students to check in with a teacher, and also they will require to complete their entire workload at home. So again, no student interaction during the day with their peers. They may have limited interaction with a teacher several times a week. By ed code, would they have to have at least one interaction a week with a teacher, and that would happen online. And the expectation would be that students complete their work at home and that they're also are checking in and being assessed by the teacher that is supporting their work at home. And the learning platforms would be the same online learning platforms that we are using currently on online learning.
Perfect, thank you, Dr. Zamora. At this point, I would like to turn the presentation over to Alex Flores, who is going to share some information on general district operations. Mr. Flores, you need to unmute, please.
Only been doing this for a couple of months. I should know that better.
Okay, you got it.
I'd like to start by saying that the safety for our students, staff, and community is our major guiding principle, and we're here to support that in administrative services. We will follow the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health guidelines. Once a model is selected, a clean schedule of proper protocols and procedures will be shared. In preparation, staff is purchasing supplies necessary to clean all facilities according to guidelines described. We will follow recommendations regarding screening. Staff has made purchases to have proper tools to implement screening if necessary. Staff has purchased 1,500 gallons of hand sanitizer and getting estimates for the purchase or rental of mobile washing stations. Reprographics is working to make signage to help reinforce the proper social distancing on campus. An evaluation was conducted to determine the highest grade of filters that can be used in our HVAC system. We have determined that our system can use a MERV 11 filter that is 2 grades above a filter rated to be used in hospital laboratories. Nutrition Service has been an outstanding partner to our community these recent months, providing the much needed meals to our families in a safe way for our families and our staff. We will continue to provide breakfast lunch when we reopen schools. Depending upon the model selected, a specific distribution of meals will be developed. We anticipate a grab-and-go service model will be implemented to serve meals. These meals will be provided at multiple locations on site to reduce the number of students in our area. And for our remote learners, they will be provided in a remote place, location. Student transportation in our buses will adhere to proper social distancing. This will reduce the number of students we will be able to transport and have developed 3 priorities. Home to school transportation for students with IEPs, need-based considerations, and fee-based. Transportation will work to adjust schedules to provide the maximum number of students to have bus service. As I conclude operations, our goal again is to focus to support students, staff, and our community to make our schools as safest as possible.
Thank you, Mr. Flores. Mr. Bixler, could you please share some human resources items?
Absolutely, happy to. So in terms of human resources, all the humans in our district, all employees in our district are here to support the instructional program for students. And with that in mind, our goal is to meet the needs of the programs offered to students so that we can improve their academic abilities and enhance their futures. We're working with our employee associations, both CSCA and ARE, in order to look at the impacts and effects related to COVID and the workplace. We're beginning to survey our staff in terms of their ability to return to work on a normal schedule, if that so allows, and looking to see those situations where employees may need to be accommodated in the event that they have some sort of underlying condition or other restriction where we need to look at accommodations. We're developing a COVID response team, which will be made up of both certificated and classified employees so that we can help the employees and their supervisors in the event that an employee either has been or believes that they've been exposed to the coronavirus. We want to assist employees in understanding the protocols and things that we have in place to ensure their safety as well as the safety of students and all of our staff, because human beings in our district are here to support the instructional program for students.
Perfect, thank you. So as we proceed and we look at communication, we know that our communications with our employees, with our families, are in our community is very important. And that is one of the commitments that our planning team has made. I would like to thank the planning team for the work that you have already contributed, as well as what you will continue to contribute as we work to develop the finalizing plans for the opening of school. I'd also like to thank the additional team of teachers and classified employees who have come in addition to the planning team to work with us on a regular basis on our ideas. And then we also have had parent meetings and student meetings, as well as a much broader teacher meeting to share some of the learning models and the 3 ideas, particularly with a focus on blended learning, to get additional feedback and to share information. So as we look at communication, we are still, as I have shared previously, awaiting information on some key items, primarily from the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health, and then also regarding specifics of the trailer bill, as I mentioned, Assembly Bill 77. We will continue with regular and ongoing communication with our employees and our parents, and we have virtual information meetings that are scheduled. We've also developed multiple modes of communication, one of which has been through video, and so I'll share that with you.
Hello, Roland Unified Families. I'm Dr. Julie Mitchell, your superintendent of schools, sharing with you important information about the upcoming school year. We are excited to welcome our students back on August 10th. The safety and well-being of our students and staff remain our top priority. During these ever-changing times, our staff continues to be committed to providing innovative learning for student success. In Roland Unified, we are designing options with the intent to allow you, our families, the opportunity to select a learning setting that works best for you and your child. We continue to follow the latest guidelines from the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health that include practicing physical distancing, frequent hand washing and the use of hand sanitizers, wearing face coverings, not sharing materials, and reducing the number of students congregating in any one area, including being in a classroom at any one time. The plans we are developing are flexible, with the ability to respond to any new updates or changes that may occur. Let's take a look at what our classrooms may look like when we return on August 10th.
Good morning. Welcome to class. Good morning. Welcome to class. I know everyone went through their initial screening to make sure everyone is feeling well. Go ahead and take a seat. Can't wait to hear about your summers. Thank you for putting your backpacks on your seats. It looks like you guys are ready to go. Hi, Brayden. As you can see, for safety purposes, the students and I are wearing face coverings. School sites will put into practice physical distancing in the classroom. Students will have access to instructional materials using supplies set aside for each learner. Families are welcome to send their own supplies from home, but these materials cannot be shared with others. When technology is incorporated into the lesson, students will use a device that is assigned to them. Hand washing and hygiene will be practiced and reinforced regularly throughout the day. When hand washing is not available, hand sanitizer will be in all classrooms for easy student access. Our staff will be cleaning and wiping down high frequent areas throughout the day as well. When possible, doors and windows will be open to allow for increased ventilation. Students will participate in classroom breaks or recess for games, where shared equipment will not be used.
Additional information about our plans for the upcoming school year, including learning options, will be shared at virtual parent meetings held on Tuesday, June 30th and Wednesday, July 1st. These sessions will further describe the choices that parents can select for their child. Families will need to share their preferred learning options that best meets their needs no later than July 7th. Look for information that will be sent directly to your email address, which is on file with your child's school. We know you may have further questions, so please call our parent hotline or visit our district website for more information. Thank you for your continued support. We are all in this together, and we are truly looking forward to seeing our students when school starts on August 10th.
As we look at what are our next steps and where are we going from here? So we have done parent surveys. We received input from parents and other stakeholder input earlier in the summer. We have information campaigns using mixed media for like video, email, text campaigns, phone calls, and print material to be able to share with our parents. We have the parent meetings that were mentioned in the video that we have planned. And then also looking at providing timely updates, because we know that the situation is a fluid situation and is constantly changing. So we are, prepared to continue to provide updates and information. In addition to the virtual meetings for our parents, we know that our employees are also eager to have as much information as possible so that they can plan and prepare for the start of the school year. And there are meetings that are in the works of being planning for our employees to join as well, so that we can share information with them. In looking again, here are some of the modes of communication or the tools that we'll be using. Our website is updated, so it does have the most up-to-date information as we prepare again for those parent meetings that are launched tomorrow. So when we look at the calendar, tomorrow we have three parent meetings. One is at 11:30 tomorrow morning in English, at 5 p.m. in Spanish, at 7 p.m. in Chinese. And then on Wednesday, we have another parent information meeting. Same content will be shared. It's just a second meeting time at 6:30 in the evening in English. Then we're asking our parents to identify their preferred learning option between blended learning, virtual classroom, or independent study between July 2nd and July 7th. We do have a hotline information. We do have text lines and we do have email lines that we'll be sharing with our parents so that they can have the questions that they have answered in order to make the most informed decision possible. The week of July 13th, we're going to continue parent outreach and finalize those learning preferences. And the week of July 20th, we'll be reviewing and revising staffing needs at our schools to accommodate our staff and our students. So at this time, I would like to ask the board if you have any questions. I see Angelina.
Donna.
Okay, I just wanted to ask about independent study. For those students that choose that, will the classroom teacher have to be responsible for that, or will another teacher be able to take over independent study? That would be Maddie, I think.
Yeah, Maddie, you're welcome to answer that.
I'm sorry, will the classroom teacher?
No, for independent study, will someone else be able to give the assignments rather than the classroom teacher, since the classroom teacher is going to be doing probably both virtual and blended?
It will be somebody assigned to do the independent study group. So okay. Depending on the number of students and also depending on the grade levels that we get, and also depending on the staff that we have returning, that it won't be the regular classroom teacher doing blended and virtual.
Okay, terrific. And then Alex, I think I heard you right. You answered my question already, that the students that will be on the virtual classroom will have somewhere to get breakfast and lunch also, correct?
Yes, we will make accommodations and make sure that all students are served regardless of what model they choose.
Okay, thank you. Great presentation. That's it. Thank you, David.
Mr. Chen. Yes, Ms. Pride, why don't you go?
Sorry. Since parents, be open, the school opened and the business opens, the parents need to work. And if some kids are going to stay home, and how about those daycare facilities, like options? Are they going to be available? So what are they doing to those?
So we are working with options and having conversations with options. The challenge that we have is space. So when we look at the model that we have, the options often uses our classrooms, as well as using our large areas, our multi-purpose rooms. And we will be using that during the school hours. And so there will be a challenge for childcare, and we recognize there'll be a challenge for childcare. We have reached out to our faith-based organizations and reached out to our elected officials to see, is there a way, and other community organizations to see, how can we provide services to our students in looking at the childcare needs that they have. So when we don't have an answer to the ability for childcare for all of the hours where it may be needed, because we do recognize and understand that families are going to need to work, and school has provided childcare opportunities and services both through the time during instruction as well as when options was there. So options will still be available. The challenge that we have is space.
Ms. Pride, you had a question?
I do. One of the questions I have is, if a parent selects virtual learning or if they select independent study and then they change their mind after a couple of weeks, can they do that?
So at this point, what we will be doing is parents will be selecting the learning option for the duration, because we will be reassigning and rearranging staff in order to meet those needs. So we will be working with our parents and having those conversations. And as you saw in the calendar, starting on July 20th is reworking staff and answering Ms. Friedman's question that our teachers will be assigned working in a blended learning model or a virtual classroom or independent study. And so once we have our staffing set, it will be difficult to move between those.
And my other question is for the blended learning, is the same teacher going to be doing both parts or will they have two different teachers? So, because they'll only be on campus twice a week. So is one teacher doing the on-campus part and another teacher doing like the virtual part, or is it independent study, the virtual part? I think I'm confused on that part.
So in the blended model, it would be one teacher assigned to a cohort, one group of students, and those students would be working with that teacher with live in-person in classroom instruction, and then they would have asynchronous independent work that they would be doing. So the virtual learning in the blended model would not be done live because the students would be delivering instruction live in a classroom to students. The models that we're looking at that Dr. Zamora has shared has the one day a week that teachers would not be physically working with students live in person for the opportunity for them to develop those asynchronous plans, as well as time. In some of the schedules, they were part days, and so there were time in the afternoon for small group instruction, intervention, as well as lesson planning.
So we then my,
go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Then my other question is, what about extracurricular activities at the secondary level especially?
So at this particular moment, extracurricular activities have not been approved and are at this point not. The conversations that I have had with the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health have extracurricular activities, particularly those that are done in large groups, on the back burner and not yet able to participate. So their primary focus is on instruction as per AB 77 and making sure that instructional model is there. But when we look at other types of extracurricular, which as you saw, that was one of the considerations, was looking at student extracurricular, student life, student activities. How do we provide for that? And right now we are looking through all of the CIF and the California Department of Public Health guidelines for athletics, which is extremely limiting at this time.
And my final question is recess. How do we social distance during recess? Because, I mean, it's just, kids like to touch each other. So that's going to take a lot of staffing to keep these kids apart.
So we do recognize that there are more questions than we have answers for at this moment. And we also know that there are some challenges. And that's one of the challenges. When you look at recess and free time, and oftentimes we tend to focus on our youngest learners in terms of how are they going to play without with maintaining physical distancing. But our high school teachers will say that, you know, passing period and time with our high school students will be equally challenging with physical distancing. So in looking at recess, we know that students will not be able to have shared materials. So there won't be the balls out for them to play with, tether ball and four square and two square and some of those things, as well as the playground equipment. So we brainstormed in terms of what are some of the things that our students can be doing. But we've also looked at how do we make for some of those accommodations perhaps in the learning model that we're providing. And so we know students need to be outdoors and students need to have a break. But I don't have a perfect answer for that one, Ms. Pride, in terms of how that will occur. There will be a lot of conversations with parents and recognizing that we will be making these requests of students. But there are, I think there needs to be some recognition that there won't be the ability for us to have that 6-foot radius and constantly and continuously monitoring that for every single student during all open time. So we can arrange our classrooms, we can make all the precautionary steps that we have shared and talked about, but there still will be challenges.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ms. Ebbekamp?
Mute.
Are you unmuted?
Mute.
We can't hear you.
I was muted, sorry. For the schools that have Chinese after school programs, will there be a way that these programs can continue, or do you know?
At this moment, the public health department has talked about not having any outside entities using our facilities, and also looking at not having significant limitations to visitors that come to campus as well. So that's part of that parent presentation. We do know that the after-school programs, you mentioned the Chinese school, we have other after-school programs that are on our campuses that do provide childcare. The challenge there too is still going to be space, because when the classrooms are vacated by students, our staff will need to be cleaning those classrooms and using the Clorox 360 machine and sanitizing that classroom in anticipation for the next class coming in. So I can say that the number of visitors to our campus and the use by others for outside individuals who provide us fabulous service to our students and to our schools will be significantly limited.
Mr. Chen?
How about the labs, like the chemistry labs and biology labs in high school? How are you going to schedule them? If you're calling the periods, some students may miss the lab.
So when you look at some of the samples that Dr. Zamora had shared, and again, as she reiterated, I will do the same. Those are for illustration purposes. Those are samples. No decision has been made regarding student schedules. We, in the feedback that we received and the focus groups that we worked with teachers, there were multiple plans that we looked at, and those that were shared were the ones that resonated the most with those groups. But to answer your question, Mr. Chen, they would be assigned a science class period, as was shared in that schedule, and that's the period that they would participate in their science learning. And then we would need to employ physical distancing during that time.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ms. Pride?
I'm sorry, I just thought of one more question. Are special education students? There will be a lot more attention that needs to be paid to them and to their needs to make sure that their learning continues just as strong as ever. How are we working towards that?
So Dr. Tincup, the Director of Special Education, is working with his team and looking at each of those individual education plans to see how we best meet the needs of our students who do have an IEP. And One of the models that we're looking at for special ed is to have the special education students in class as much as possible. So they may deviate from the general models that Dr. Zamora shared if their class size is such that allows them to physically distance, because some of the class sizes are already smaller. So perhaps to be able to physically distance and maintain instruction for a greater number of in-person days to continue learning. So again, all of those are still in discussion, and they are being looked at individually.
Any other questions, Mr. Chen?
A temporary check. Are we going to check the kids at the entrance, or for the kids boarding school bus? Are we going to check them before boarding the bus? So how are we going to do it?
So we're waiting for the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health to provide that guidance to us, and we will follow the guidance that they provide to us.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay, I noticed on the count on the bottom that some people arrived midway through the presentation. I just want to reiterate what we said at the beginning, that this is an overview for the board. The presentations on Tuesday and Wednesday will be a lot more specific for the parents as far as information. So go to rolandschools.org and you'll see the schedule there. And be sure that if you are on tonight's presentation, join one of those on Tuesday or Wednesday to get more student-specific information. I want to thank Dr. Mitchell, and let me just get this done real quickly. I want to thank Dr. Mitchell, the teachers, the students, and especially the parents in the community for working with us. This has been an unbelievable challenge to restructure education in a very short period of time. And we couldn't have done it without community and staff input, ARE, CSEA, They all work together to do this. So I really appreciate that. And we have Ms. Pride with one more question.
And I promise this is the last one. subs. So if a teacher is out and we have to bring in a sub, I mean, what kind of process are we using for that? Whereas the teachers, we know that they've been there each day. We've kind of been monitoring them like we monitor the students. But when a sub comes in.
So from a health perspective, is that your question?
Yeah.
Mr. Bixer, I know we were talking about that in this last week.
Absolutely. So we're looking at a couple of different strategies, including training in order to provide a continuity of instruction, training our substitutes a little differently so that they know how to step in and work in a virtual role. We've talked a little bit about the expansion of some of our staff stepping into some of those roles who are maybe more comfortable in some of those roles. It is an area that is going to be a bit of a challenge, but we are going to confidently handle that. We do have a number of substitutes who have been with the district for a number of years and are they've got great relationships with our teachers, and we're happy for that. And so, you know, in terms of a number of things, we're also blessed with instructional coaches who can help with our substitutes who will need assistance. So there's a number of resources we've got. We've got a deep ed services bench to train. We've got a good substitute pool who's been pretty steady. And we've got good relationships between teachers and substitutes. So you put all those things together, I think we've got a winning program.
Thank you. That was good information.
And from a health perspective, because that was you had asked in terms of checking and working with them from a health perspective, is they would have a symptoms check as well.
Yes.
In terms of there's three key questions that you ask, they would follow that same protocol.
Yes, absolutely.
Any more final questions?
I just want to say thank you again to allowing for us to have the presentation and share information. There are a number of employees and community members that are listening to, as you had mentioned, Mr. Malkin. And again, what we've shared tonight is the beginning part of our thinking. We know that there's deeper work that still needs to be done as we anticipate the welcoming of our students on August 10th. We're anxiously awaiting the information from AB 77, as well as the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health, which we will follow both of those, and continue to be eager to work with our employees with ARE and with CSEA as we plan for the reopening.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Michelle. With that, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is public comments. Dr. Michelle, do we have any public comments this evening?
Yes, we do.
Okay, well, let me just read this one little brief statement, then we'll get into the public comments. The public is welcome to provide comment to the board. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes unless extended or limited by vote of the board. A maximum of 20 minutes unless extended by the board is allocated for each subject discussed. The Brown Act open meeting regulations under which the board must operate do not allow board members to comment on non-agenda items or information you may bring up that are not on the agenda. Additionally, no action can be taken. However, the board may be given direction to staff following a comment. So, Ms. Ward, do you wanna call the next first speaker?
Yes, thank you. Can our first speaker is Mr. Rory Humphreys?
Yeah, just unmuted myself. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, you can. Okay, here's great. Nice to see you once again. And thank you for all the good things you do. But in spite of all of that, we continue to find that the content of your character, your individual and collective character, wanting. Prior to the closed session, I noted that the disgraceful act of this board to grant two assistant superintendents, Alex Flores, Dennis Bixler, along with the superintendent, Julie Mitchell, a 1-year extension while on her contract, while there are 3 years remaining. This does not pass the smell test, to say the least. Once again, the board makes the district core values simply words on a page, as noted by Mr. Malcolm meeting last. And yes, Mr. Malcolm, transparency, is just a buzzword, according to him. And Ms. Pride deserves special note to her accusation that someone called her a monkey. I know that she could not be referring to me because Mr. William Harrison, an Afro-American retired teacher, educated one and all as to the three monkeys syndrome and put the record straight. And Mr. Kerry Chung can further amplify the Year of the Monkey and as a cultural enhancement. The failure of the district to mount an aggressive trustee area voting education program goes to the disingenuous and passive aggressive behaviors of this board and administration. We can only pray that over the next time before the November election, that it will lead us to an era to reclaim the core values and put transparency at the very top. And last but not least, hopefully we will do away with the de facto segregation of the North and the South as was exemplified during the California Voting Rights Act process. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Humphreys. Ms. Ward?
Yes, our next speaker is Amy Urbian. Hold on. Okay, she can unmute her mic.
Thank you, Gina. Good evening, President Malkin, school board members, Dr. Mitchell, and cabinet. I am Amy Urbian, current ARE vice president, and in 2 days, the new president because of term limits that we have in our bylaws. I first want to thank our teachers for the last 3 months of the 2020 school year. They were thrown into distance learning overnight and delivered instruction to our students the best way they could with very minimal online training. Converting lesson plans that were intended for an in-person learning and having to change to an online platform took a lot of time and creativity. If students were in class, feedback was easier because teachers could walk around or see their faces to see if students understood the lesson or not. Online feedback took up a lot of time. I did mental and health wellness checks each week, and I made a commitment to answer each of my students because I wanted them to know I was there caring about them. That meant 144 responses each week, and that wasn't even for the gov or econ work I had assigned. That would be another set of responses for that work. I also want to thank our parents who tried their best to support their students through distance learning. Though they might have also been working from home, might have been laid off from their own job, or they were essential workers. I commend all of you for whatever your situation was, and thank you for the work and support you gave your students in these challenging times. For the past month, I have served as the ARE representative on the task force to reopen our schools. Our association is committed to the safety of not just our teachers, but our students, our CSEA brothers and sisters in this community. We understand students in the community want schools to reopen, but it should not be at the expense of the health and safety of all. If you wish to open these doors in August, the guidelines that are recommended by the county and public health must be followed. On the instructional side, teachers need more training and also better technology. With the component of virtual learning happening even in the hybrid, a document camera for home use would be helpful. Students need to have their own devices for each child in the household. Also, the district might not need to reevaluate the hotspots that were distributed to some of our families. Some connections were not able to support the more complex platforms that teachers were using during distance learning. For parents, they need training or an academy so they understand how online platforms work, since many of them have to help their students navigate them. As we begin to really form plans, please make safety the priority for this community. I look forward to working with all of you the next few years and appreciate your commitment to reopening our sites for the 2021 school year. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Irvin. Dr. Mitchell, would it be possible that somebody can meet with Ms. Irvin and see if we can resolve the issues with the hotspots and the technology that might be a problem when school starts? We can get that resolved before school starts?
Yes.
Okay, Ms. Ward, next one.
Yes, there was one other speaker, but it was before closed session, and it was an open session item, and it was Magner Lashun, S-H-U-N, but they don't seem to be on the call. I don't see them. If they are watching virtually, if they even can, there's no one that's raised their hand. I just want to give one shout. I'm asking one more time if Magner Lashun. Then that was the last one.
Okay, thank you,
David, can I ask Dr. Mitchell one other question?
Sure, go
ahead. Is there a mechanism, Dr. Mitchell, for teachers reporting problems as they go rather than you finding out after the classes are all finished that they had a problem with something?
When there's a challenge or an issue, yes. Okay. So I would presume it would be the same. They're still having weekly staff meetings, have the ability to communicate with their principals or their direct supervisors. Okay. And then when we were in distance learning, there was an email. We encouraged employees, asked them to work with their direct supervisors first, but there also was an employee questions email, the generic email that was set up to be able to respond.
That's great, thanks.
Okay, we'll move on to the next item, which would be discussion items on the agenda. The first one is item 6A, resolution AS 2021-04, acknowledging state is not obligated to provide funding for school facilities beyond bond authority. Can I have a motion and a second to approve resolution AS 2021-04, acknowledging state is not obligated to provide funding to school facilities beyond bond authority?
I make a motion. Second.
Oh gosh, Angelina.
Okay, who made the first?
Let's say Angelina.
Donna did. I second.
Okay, so Ms. Friedman made the first and Ms. Pride made the second. Any questions or discussion on that resolution? Hearing none, we'll do a roll call. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye. Sorry.
Ms. Ebbenkamp?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And it's aye for me, so the motion carries unanimously. Item 6B, Memorandum of Understanding between the Roland Unified School District and Classified Employees Association and its Roland Chapter 133 related to vacation leave. Can I have a motion and a second to approve a one-time, non-precedent setting Memorandum of Understanding between the Roland Unified School District and the Classified School Employees Association and its Roland Chapter 133 related to vacation payout for accrued and unused vacation time due to COVID-19.
I'll make a second.
Okay, we have a first and a second. Questions or discussions? Hearing none, I'll have a roll call. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebbenkamp?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And it's aye for me, so it's motion carries unanimously. Item number 6C, resolution AS 2021-05, Classified Employee Retirement Incentive Program. Can I have a motion and a second to approve resolution AS 2021-05, Classified Employee Retirement Incentive Program?
I'll move.
Second.
Questions or discussions? Hearing none, I'll do a roll call. Ms. Friedman?
Before you do roll call, I think Mr. Flores has a comment. I don't know if I'm correct, but Mr. Flores, did you have a comment to make?
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to share with the board the total cost for this incentive to not succeed is $1,748,632. I wanted to make sure the financial implication is stated.
And that's based on how many projected employees?
Based on 65 employees that will take advantage of the early retirement.
Okay. Any other questions from Mr. Flores or any other statements? Okay, Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebbenkamp?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And it's aye for me, so the motion carries unanimously. Item 6D is Roland Adult Education Courses for 2020-2021 school year. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the Roland Unified School District Adult Education Courses for 2020-2021 school year?
I'll move.
A second.
Don't do it anymore.
I hope they got the first and second on that because I didn't. We'll take roll call now. Was there any questions or discussions regarding the adult education courses? Okay, we'll take roll call. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebbenkamp?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And it's aye for me, so motion carries unanimously. Item number 6E, partnership agreement between Roland Unified School District and Mount San Antonio College for non-AB 288 course offerings. Can I have a motion and a second to approve partnership agreement between the Roland Unified School District and the Mount San Antonio College for non-AB 288 course offerings?
I so move.
A second.
Okay, I'll do roll call. Any other questions or discussions? Okay, Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebbenkamp?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Abstain due to my employment at the college.
And I do an aye, so it's four ayes and one abstain due to conflict. So the motion carries unanimously. Item 6F, Roland Unified School District 2020-2021 District Goals, Direction and Focus Areas. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the 2020-2021 school year overall goals and district direction and focus areas?
I'll move.
I'll second.
Any questions or discussions? These are the ones that we discussed last time and we made a few modifications. So we're basically approving the modifications that we made last time. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebbenkamp?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
It's aye for me, so motion carries unanimously. Item 6G, amend 2020-2021 Board of Education meeting schedule. Can I have a motion and a second to amend the 2020-2021 Board of Education meeting schedule?
I'll move.
Second.
We have first and second. Okay, now we have to have questions and discussions. Do we have a date on that? Because I think there's two options.
Yes, there are two options. I did hear, however, that there is a conflict with the 17th. So we can look at the board's interest. It is a study session to see if that is a meeting that we want to continue to keep, or we would like to rearrange. Based on the two options that were provided on this agenda, was looking to change the September 24th meeting to either September 17th or September 23rd. I have heard that there is one conflict, at least one conflict with September 17th. So that does not appear that it would be an option for our full board.
What was the topic for the study session?
There is not a topic currently for the study session. Typically it has been, it's on calendar to talk about student assessment and data results. In the last 2 years, we have not had those yet by the September meeting. We did not have one in 2019. We did have a meeting that was comparable date, but there was no open session or no study session. The board did convene for a closed session item on that date, but no open session. And in 2018, we had a facilities report.
So board members, what's your desire on this?
Dr. Mitchell, do you think we need one?
At this moment, I'm not anticipating student assessment results and data because that was not... We did not engage in student assessment, formal state assessments this spring. So we won't have that data to share yet September or October because we had pushed it to October the last couple of years. So at this moment, I do not have an agenda topic for that study session. There could be things, of course, that will come up, particularly in the reconfiguring and reworking and reimagining what school looks like. But at this moment, there is not a topic that would be an item to discuss with the board president when we do agenda planning.
So this is going to be a short one, about 4 hours study session, but it's not a whole day one.
Correct. This is a study session that typically begins at 4:30 and typically would conclude by 6:30.
Okay. Well,
I know you mentioned the possibility of the 23rd, I think you said. Was it the 23rd?
Correct.
At this point, depending upon the COVID situation, I will not be in town on the 23rd.
Okay.
What was the original date for the meeting?
24th. September 24th was the original date. An option, we could remove that date, and should there be a need for a board meeting, work to schedule it at that time. Often that's challenging to get everyone's calendars to align at the, when it gets closer to the date. But right now we have a conflict with 17, 23, and 24. So the dates that are proposed here, we have the inability for all of us to come together on the 17, 23rd, or 24th.
I think it would be a good idea to do what you suggested. Let's not schedule a meeting. And if it happens that we have to have one, then we'll just figure out our schedules.
Did you have something, Ms. Evenkent?
Well, I was going to say we could always vote to amend it. And then if the board, if it's decided we don't need the meeting, then that's what we've done. We've amended it because we've canceled the meeting in essence.
Well, we can also vote to eliminate that
September 24th meeting. Yeah.
Whatever you want. Knowing that we may have to add something back in if there's something pertinent. Mm-hmm.
So how do we do that? Do we move that we want to?
So do I have a motion to amend the 2020-2021 Board of Education meeting schedule by eliminating the study session scheduled for the 24th of September?
I move.
Second.
Okay, I'll do a roll call on that. Any questions or discussions first? Okay, I'll do a roll call. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Evenkent?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
It's aye for me, so the motion carries unanimously to amend.
Mr. Duncan, did we already have a motion that Board of Education schedule
for 2020-21 by eliminating the study session that was scheduled for the 24th?
Had Mr. Malcolm, had a motion been made before we had our discussion?
Yeah.
And then we had a motion after the discussion that we changed it a little bit. So do we need to rescind the first motion?
I didn't rescind it. I just had a second motion.
So we can rescind that original motion would be with parliamentary procedure. So we can rescind that. And I don't recall, Donna, did you make that original motion?
Yes.
Will you rescind?
Can we rescind it?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Maybe Carrie?
I rescind it. But we did the motion. Oh, okay.
Yeah, we did the motion. Okay.
We did the motion after the discussion.
We did one before. We always do the motion first and then have discussion. So, Carrie, you did the second.
Donna, I have to say rescind.
She did.
No, I rescinded.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're good.
I second it.
Are we good?
Perfect. Thank you.
Now I need to move again, right?
You need to move.
No,
we had a motion after and voted on it.
Okay.
We're good.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Roberts.
You're welcome.
Okay, now we have the consent calendar. Next is the consent calendar. We will approve all of the items in the consent with the exception of any items that were pulled separate or for separate discussion or action, and there was none that were pulled. Can I have a motion to accept the consent calendar?
I'll move.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a first and a second to accept the consent calendar. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Evenkent?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And it's aye for me, so the consent calendar is approved as presented. We now go to, we don't, one second here as I go through these pages. The topic is board comments from the board, and we'll start with Ms. Friedman first.
Okay, thank you. First, I want to thank the 150 people that participated today. That is wonderful that, for our Zoom board meeting. And I wanted to say great presentation on the 2020-2021. It was very informative. I want to thank the committee that was part of that because you get questions like, what does the school year look like? And you covered everything. I feel really good that it was covered by every aspect. I want to welcome Esther Garcia, our new principal at Northam, to our Roland family. And I would like to say thank you to everyone that helped in making summer school possible online. Also, thank you for making our campuses look so beautiful and working on them during the pandemic and during the summer, not to mention cleaning them so our students and staff will be safe when the new school year comes. So many people to thank. Thank you to all Roland employees for all your dedication and hard work. I was on the Kauffman Grants Committee. Usually we have many teachers submit projects, but this year there were only 11. Please, teachers, if you have an idea of a project and need $500 or less, submit your proposal of your project and you have a good chance of getting the money. This year, over $5,000 will be given out to teachers for their projects. Thank you to the Kauffman family for doing this. It is very generous of you and so much appreciated. The adult school graduation was fabulous. It looked like the entire staff was there cheering on the graduates as they drove up in their cap and gowns and heard their name announced on the stage. They received a mask and white gloves. Then more pictures with a huge 2020 in front of a tent. This was very special and very organized. Congratulations to the 17 graduates. I enjoyed saying congratulations to them and hope they know how proud I am of them achieving this accomplishment. Lastly, congratulations to the 65 CSEA members that took advantage of the early retirement incentive. I sincerely hope you have a great, enjoyable, and healthy retirement. Thank you so much for your service to Roland. You are very much appreciated. Have a great Independence Day, everyone. It's my favorite holiday.
Okay, Mr. Chen.
Yeah, during the pandemic, and we got very strong support from community, and last week I got a phone call from the community and Henry Mel, a gentleman who ran a successful business in Roland Heights, and donate the district 3,400 masks for children's size for the kids, and donated to the district for us to distribute to the needed family, and plus 2,400 adult size 3-ply masks. So I want to thank him in public, and also I want to thank City of Covina. Feature our Nogales High School graduation, put it on the YouTube, and very thankful to their city councilors and the mayor. Adult school graduation, and every time I attend the adult school graduation, I want to salute all of them. This year we have 17 graduates, and for some people maybe high school graduation is just a step finishing up the basic education. But for these people, whatever they have, the experience they have, they overcome their hard time and successfully gain their achievement for a high school diploma. So for this, very special to them. So every year I very happy to join them celebrate the graduation in adult school. And I'd like to welcome Esther Garcia as a new leader at Northam Elementary. And look at her resume, it's a very experienced and a very good candidate. And I'm very happy we choose her and congratulate her and wish her the very successful career in RAUSD. And looking forward to the school reopening, and they're very thankful for the team who prepared the opening plan, and that's the very special, and because that we never had it before, and everything is new to us, and very hard work. So I'm looking forward to see the reopening of the school, and we have a
very successful school, and I want to say thank you to everyone who put an effort on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chen. Ms. Ebbingham?
Thank you, Mr. Malkin. As the school year comes to an end, I'd like to extend a special thank you to my Board of Education colleagues. Thanks to all of you for working hard, being conscientious, making tough decisions, being honest, and doing what's best for students. Yes, thanks for caring. Thank you for doing your homework and coming to the board meetings prepared. I've seen boards whose members come to meetings as they open up their study packets for the first time. That is not the case with this board. The audience needs to know it's not easy being elected to the Board of Education. We sit up here month after month to conduct business, but this year has been particularly difficult. We've had to listen to the complaints from community and staff, the criticisms to leadership and the district and to board members. And that's very difficult when you know you're doing the right thing and working so hard. Sometimes once spoken words once out of your mouth cannot be taken back because they will never be forgotten. We've heard a lot of those words sitting on this board throughout the latter part of this year. We know we cannot please everyone, but we're doing our best, what's best for our students. One of the best things this board has brought is leadership and the ability to work together, not always agreeing with each other, but being cordial, sincere, and honest. In my opinion, we've done a lot of really good things over the past few years. So to my fellow board members, although we don't really get a summer break, I hope you have a great time with your families and enjoy yourselves the best way you can. We're all still hunkered down for the time being. Regardless, let's start the 2020 through 2021 school year off right and make it the best year yet for Roland Unified. Thanks to each of you.
That was beautiful. I'm glad I don't have to follow that. Ms. Pride?
Thank you. Ms. Ebbingham, your words were really touched my heart, and I appreciate what you said, and thank you, and thank you likewise for all that you do, not just for the board, but in our community as well. So thank you very much. I want to welcome Ms. Garcia to Roland Unified School District. I look forward to having the opportunity to meet her and at some point visit the school after she's settled in. I want to thank our planning committee, our team. You guys have a very, very tough job, and I wouldn't want it. So I hope you guys can muddle through all of the rules and regulations and policies and procedures and bring us good information on what we need to do in order to make sure that we keep our students and our employees all safe as we transition through, navigate our way through the COVID-19 situation. But I know it takes a lot of time in the planning of all of that. So thank you for willing to be part of that team. I also want to say thank you to the city of West Covina for including us and acknowledging our graduates. That was really wonderful of them to reach out. And thank you, Dr. Mitchell, for being there to be able to provide additional comment on the great things that are happening in our district and at our school. Congratulations to the Adult Ed school graduates. Working in Adult Ed myself, I know the struggles that these students go through and the ups and downs and the challenges that it takes for them to be able to complete their education. It is not an easy feat. And so when they finally do that, it's something that truly has to be celebrated, just as if they walked across that stage in the traditional sense, maybe even a little bit more. So thank you to everyone who worked hard to make sure that their achievement didn't go unacknowledged. And thank you to all of the staff and the instructors who worked so hard to help them to get to that point. Then finally, I just want to say, working again in education and working with high schools and including our high schools, I kind of know firsthand what it takes to have to move from traditional brick and mortar classroom to online real fast and get it up and going and making sure all of our students are served. And I knew it was difficult for you guys. And after experiencing it myself, I definitely know how difficult it is for you guys. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for all that you guys did. It was definitely an effort from the bottom to the top and from the top to the bottom to make sure that our students maintain the educational services that they deserve and that they need in order to continue on in their future. So I really appreciate everything that all of you have gone through over these last few months and still what lies ahead. There's still a lot that's going to take place that we all have no clue. You know, really, watching the news just earlier today, things are getting bad again. And so we don't know which road we're going to be traveling, but yet you guys are taking all the time to prepare for each road and for each journey. And that's a lot of work and a lot of effort. And I appreciate that. But with that said, I also want to remind you guys that since the school year has come to an end, each and every one of you needs to take a time out for yourself, for your family. You need to rest. You need to take care of your physical and mental health. And that goes for everyone in our district, not just one group, everybody. This has been a very tough situation on every single person that's employed by this district. They've all played a different role in making sure that we can get through this. And I just want to make sure that come fall, that all of you have at least had a little bit of rest and that you guys have had a little bit of downtime, and that you're re-energized and ready for murder hornets, sharknadoes, whatever may come next, so that we can move forward. So thank you guys, but as a board member, I am telling you, it is a directive, get some rest, take care of yourselves, and take care of your families, and have a good time off.
Thank you, Ms. Pride. To make mine a little bit shorter, I'll just say for West Covina, for welcoming Ms. Garcia to Northam, and for adult ed, congratulations. I ditto what Ms. Pride just said. So that will take care of that. But I do want to highlight one teacher. I want to highlight a teacher from Villa Corta Elementary School who I recently supported through Donors Choose. Ms. Mimelian is a third to fifth grade teacher. She feels that it's never too early to start teaching children about loving oneself and their neighbors, no matter what their skin color is. She requested donations in the amount of $560 to purchase books to give her students multicultural and diverse books to become understanding of all people. She requested the money, and within 3 days, through three donors, it was totally funded, which is a record time for that. And just a few days after three donors with matching funds, she met her goal. Ms. Mimelian summed it up by stating that this project will help my students continue their love of reading while teaching them about culture and loving all people. And I thought that was just great that she's doing that at the third grade level. I mean, if we could only do that throughout our entire district, how much better our world would be. And at that, I'd like to, can I have a motion and a second to adjourn the regular meeting of the Board of Education? We do not have to return back to closed session, so this will be for adjournment.
I'll move.
A second.
Thought somebody wanted to stay here. So we have a first and a second. I'll do roll call. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye. Ms. Aye.
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
I don't know. Maybe we should hang around a little longer. No, just playing. I'm
waiting for my dinner to arrive. I would say aye, though. And with that, the meeting will be adjourned at 7:40. And have a good 4th of July. And thank you for all the parents. I think we're down to 60. So we lost about 90. So for those 60 that are still online, thank you for staying with us to the bitter end. And we hope that you'll join us tomorrow at the specific classes that will be relevant to your student populations. And with that, have a great 4th of July. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Everybody. Bye.